Brexit. Does anybody know what's going on?
Hello, and welcome to the Mark and Pete Show. Well, Boris Johnson seems to be tied up with Tory rebels, and yet now he's wrapped up in red tape. Yes, a legal challenge over his decision to suspend Parliament has finally been rejected in the High Court. Now, the case was brought by businesswoman Gina Miller, who argued that the move was an unlawful abuse of power. Rejecting Ms. Miller's case, Lord Chief Justice Lord Burnett said she could immediately appeal because of the important points of law that were at stake. But yes, Mr. Johnson, the legal challenges don't stop there because, yes, MPs, including Tory-expelled MPs, are actually preparing to take legal action in case the Prime Minister, Boris, yes, refuses to seek a delay to Brexit. Oh dear, Mr. Johnson, it's getting worse. And here's an observation. If you are completely lost in the field of a political pitch, and you have hedged all your bets and hit a hitch, opponents will sow the seed of suspicion with every stitch, ploughing legal grounds to leave you dead in a ditch. Yes, Boris, you believe that you'd rather be dead in the ditch than to ask for a delay. Clergyman Pete, do you not think that Boris Johnson's standpoint is just a little bit extreme?
Yeah, well, I thought he just managed to drag himself out of a ditch from the state of his suit. But I noticed that Boris Johnson has thrown himself in with great gusto to what appears to be the start of an election campaign when there isn't one.
Mm.
So he does seem to have thought that people would actually vote for one, whereas the rest of us political commentators here, we thought, well, there's no chance they're going to do that because they've managed to wrest control back off him. So they think they've got him trussed up like a turkey for Christmas. That's what they think.
I think the big question is, what is going on?
I don't know for obvious reasons. I believe in fundamentally no one does, but no one knows what's going on in terms of what way forward are we going to take. There's lots of different things that are happening which we can highlight here on the show, which are fascinating. It's a fascinating concatenation of circumstances, as our friend Rees-Mogg would say, which has brought us to a situation where it seems that nothing can happen.
Well,
the most likely thing is nothing's going to happen.
Well, I think there's something really, really important, because the consequence of this whole idea of nobody knows what's going on is now affecting businesses, as we now are all starting to realise. Now, I'm going to give you a simple example.
Uncertainty is the problem. Yeah, yes, go on. Yeah.
Small businesses can identify with Nimisha Raja's view, and she is in fact a founder and boss of Nim's Fruit Crisps.
Yep, delicious.
A favourite of yours, I believe.
Yep.
And she says, we have absolutely no idea what's going on. And she believes, although she stockpiled in the past, this is when I believe that we were meant to leave the EU in March of 2019, she will not be doing that again. But more importantly, like many other small businesses, and indeed even large businesses, they haven't a clue what's going on in Parliament. They don't understand the legal ramifications. Where does that leave us all? Clergyman Pete, what is the answer?
Well, let me just start a little bit further back, in that it became apparent in the past few months that most MPs didn't know what was going on. In fact, I would say you can see by their responses that MPs did not know what it meant when they voted for Article 50. They didn't know that. They genuinely didn't know, I believe. I don't think they're all just acting, although many are. They didn't know that it meant it included leaving without a deal. It quite clearly did. They've all voted, not all, just under 500 MPs voted for Article 50. So they didn't know. So how can you expect businessmen who don't pay close attention to such things to know? And I think that the worst possible thing has happened because of all the positioning. to try and thwart Brexit, what you end up with is a worse situation where people can't prepare, just as Nimisha Raja hasn't stockpiled this time her fruit crisps, which of course I'd be quite happy to eat through the stockpile for her.
Yes, I would imagine you get through it very quickly.
They are very nice. But the problem is that because of the uncertainty, she foolishly, I think, hasn't stockpiled this time. Because although it may not happen, we may not leave without a deal. Even if we leave with, actually at this stage, with or without a deal is rather irrelevant because we're not prepared for anything, are we?
Well, no. I want to mention that. This point about preparation, because Miss Raja is not alone, because new research from the British Chambers of Commerce, BCC, shows that 41% of UK firms have done no risk assessment on the impact of Brexit.
Yeah,
I think one of the reasons is people are so exasperated now, having stockpiled in the past or not stockpiled, they just do not know what's going on. And so they're in a state of flux. People are thinking now short term, not long term, which is what we need to do, as we know on the Mark and Pete show.
I think
the mantra is long termism. So businesses, I think, now really are completely exasperated. Now, I think we need to take a stance on this, as in our own personal opinions. I think my viewpoint is we just need to get out. And I know there's going to be legal challenges. And Boris, you'll be probably standing in the dock if you do challenge the law, if a law is passed to delay.
So, let me just stop you there, Business for Mark, because what we have now is Business for Mark actually advocating for Boris Johnson to ignore a law that's been passed, an Act of Parliament. Is that what you're suggesting?
No.
Okay.
No, you see, we're interrupted. So the point is, I'm saying here is, I would like to see him in the dock. No. Although that would be amusing.
Wouldn't we all? Yes. No, yes.
What I think he should do is, he has no choice now. He has to come clean and tell us whether he can do a deal. He has, throughout his wanderings in Wakefield and many other parts of London and places like that where he claims that he has come close to a deal, he cannot allow people to challenge him legally to actually say we're going to go to a delay, because I believe that the delay will go through 2019 and into 2020. And that is a big mistake.
So, just to tie you down, though, one situation would be, well, we're assuming now that there's not going to be an election, even though that's a possibility.
Well, we don't know. Exactly.
Okay, you need a two-thirds majority. The next vote is on Monday. If that happened, well, it doesn't necessarily change things, other than that if he wins with a majority of the election, he could then strike down the bill that you were talking about, which could go through.
Yeah. Yes.
But if we assume that there isn't going to be election because of all the talk against it, it's been voted down once already, and that you need a two-thirds majority of MPs, of actual MPs, not two-thirds of those who vote. So you need 434 MPs, in fact, to vote for having an election. And many are scared of it, and they realise that the Tories are ahead in the polls, so they're not going to go for it. But at least not at the moment. So assuming that's not the case, if this bill goes through, having it's now been through the House of Lords, which forces the Prime Minister to go to Brussels to go and ask for an extension to Article 50 to the end of January, and even provides him with a handily with a letter for him to send, the actual wording for him to send, it's because they didn't trust him to write it, I guess. From what you're saying, he said, just take us out.
No.
That does mean that he needs to ignore that and say, no, I'm not doing it, in which case he'd be in the dock, as you say.
This is my
complete
view,
which
is, taking all that aside, this is the thing that he probably doesn't want to do this, but if I was in his position, he's already said that his personal view is, apart from being dead in a ditch, Boris
that's one
option. Extreme. Yeah. But what I would say is, I admire him for his view that we've got to leave. And 31st of October, in his mind, politically, for all his reasons, should be the day that we go out. If, for any reason, all events go against him, I think that he should resign. And I think that he will leave with credibility. And that's what I think that he should do. Now, the consequence of him doing that, if he does have to face this issue of a delay, as in legally he cannot override it, but accepting that if he did, he would be challenged, and I wouldn't recommend that he does that. What I would say to him is, from that point, if he reached that position, pushed into a corner, I think he should resign. And that then takes him politically out of the equation, because what will happen is, if he has to be prime minister after the 31st of October and the United Kingdom is still in the EU, he's gone against his own ethics and his own political wish, and I can't see how he can carry on with credibility.
No, well, can I just continue your theorising here? Because if that were to happen, which is a possibility, and he resigned as Prime Minister, not as leader of the party, but he resigns as Prime Minister, he could get back.
Oh, it could, exactly.
Because they then have, under the fixed term election act, he then has 14 days in which he has to wait it out to see if the other parties can see if they can form a government.
Yes. Now, somebody like Jeremy Corbyn or Ken Clark takes a temporary position.
It is assumed, actually, he's going to be the leader of the opposition.
Which is because of his unpopularity,
maybe not. But whoever it is has then to go to the Queen, and she needs to accept it, which isn't a foregone conclusion. In that particular case, she hardly makes decisions, really. But in that case, she can make a decision based on advice. You know, has this person got together a stable coalition? And I think it's unlikely, but it's not impossible. So he could lose out and another government forms, but he might not.
Does anybody know what's going on? I think that Boris does know what's going on. And he look, whether you agree with his politics or not, I think he is a smart politician. He's got a bit of a run against him, because even his own brother has sort of quit the government. And that's sadly a bit of a brand reputation shock, because nobody expected that to happen. And I know that's not the fundamental thing to Brexit. But the thing is that I think if he comes away with some credibility in this, then the best thing that he should do is say, I gave it a go, I've tried to negotiate, I've had my whole program of strategy undermined by Parliament, and particularly the opposition, and that's what he should do. The mistake is to stay on. And I think that's the thing that it would be interesting to see what happens over the next few days and weeks, because he's got a couple of key milestones that will come up, and he has to trigger some action. And I think that if he goes past the 31st of October, he loses credibility if we're still with the EU.
Yes, I agree with that. Now, so does anyone know what's going on? Well, no, we don't know what's going on either. But what we can do is give possibilities of what might happen, because at least there's some clouds. Now, so that's one possibility that he could do that. Now, going back to the bill that's been, looks like it's going to be passed, and so become an act of parliament, which forces a delay, forces him to ask for a delay. Now, there were a few different options, of course. He could go to the European Union, and he may have already done this, I don't know, have one of, and it only takes one of the leaders of the countries, of the 27 countries, from Britain, only one of them has to veto it, and he can ask for an extension, and they say no. And then, if that happens, even without a deal, we still leave on the 31st of October.
And I think that Boris knows that one of them, at least, will do that.
I'm just saying that's a possibility. Because what he's saying is about he preferred to be found dead in a ditch than to ask for an extension. But if he were to know that, in fact, it's going to be turned down, I think he would ask.
I think this is why he didn't go back to Brussels when people were walking up to him in Wakefield saying, why are you here? Why aren't you there in Brussels? Yes. I don't think he needed to be in Brussels. I think he already knows the situation.
Yes, well, I would surprise if he didn't, whichever way it is. But there is another possibility. So we're going through them. Here's another possibility, that there's a problem with the bill. Now, a similar bill was passed during Theresa May's time when she was Prime Minister to force her to go and ask for a delay. She went and asked for it. Very similar situation. But afterwards, they noticed, oh, there was actually a problem. She could have got away with not doing it because all it said was she should seek an extension. Now, she could have sought an extension and they said no. But just because it just says seek it, she could say, I'd like an extension. And then they say yes. So then she phones back and says, I'll change my mind. You know, because yes. She's then sorted, but she changed her mind. So they tried to remove any such ambiguity from the wording of this bill. But people kept finding it. If you follow, I didn't listen to the whole of the debates in the House of Commons and the House of Lords, but I followed some of it, and people kept finding little loopholes. Oh, he could say this. Oh, he could do this. And there might be one still in there. There might be a loophole that he spotted. They haven't found it yet, and that's why he's seeming so confident.
I would imagine that the metaphorical microscopes are all over it right now.
Yes. but the one thing that... one thing that he could do, of course, is he could simply, as you suggesting he shouldn't do, I thought you were going to suggest that he should, but simply ignore it and say, no, I'm not doing that.
Well, yes, he has that as an option.
Yes. And that's now, I think initially he might do, if he doesn't, even if he's got the someone saying one country, effectively one national leader saying that they're going to veto the extension to Article 50. Even if he has any base, I think he will try and get a deal. But what he means by a deal is the Theresa May deal, but with something tweaked on the wording to do with the backstop. That's really what he means. And it's a pretty bad deal. However, it does take us out of the European Union. And what he's saying is if you have this deal, which is actually a treaty, so binding, which extends, you know, we'll be still be in the single market for a bit, which means we're in the customs union. So it hampers our ability to make trade deals. So there's lots of problems. But he says, change the political declaration. Then it gives you a basis on which to continue negotiating after the 31st. And that's what he's been saying the whole time. And this sort of desperation to try and stop him leaving without a deal, if they just left well alone, he would have had a deal that most of the Remainers would have liked and that we wouldn't like. That's the paradox of this.
The option of ignore the law is definitely something he could consider. However, there is a comment that has been made by David Lidington, who resigned as Cabinet Office Minister in July. And he, in opposition to Mr. Johnson's no-deal Brexit strategy, told the media that the government is bound by the words of any statute and has been duly enacted by the Queen in Parliament, which is a fundamental principle of our constitution and our ministerial code. So the point being, as he continued, defying any law sets a real dangerous precedent. So I do agree with that point being made there by David Lidington. I think that Boris Johnson will almost certainly not do that. I think he's got to also consider his longer-term future as well, because as all the options that we've talked about, he will want a political career after this sort of shambles that we've seen. And it's not something that, you know, he really wants to come away tarnished with. He wants to be seen as the hero. Now, at the same time, if he can't get his way and we can't get out by the 31st of October, at least he doesn't want to be the one to be blamed for it. And I think that the ignoring the law would be the worst thing that he could do. So I personally feel, I'm not saying he could do it, but I wouldn't.
I think it would be a mistake anyway, because any actions he takes whilst breaking the law, of course,
and he's setting the wrong precedent.
Yeah,
yes, his honour would
now,
be.
One final thing before we conclude, I just wanted to mention the fact that those who put together this this bill, put forward officially anyway by Hillary Benn, to get an extension.
Thank you, Hillary.
Now they first of all took legal advice and they took legal advice from EU lawyers and from the and advice from the EU. Now this in itself, just to add further confusion, is open to the interpretation that it's collusion with the EU, with a foreign power negotiating as the government when you're not the government. Have they opened themselves up to a legal challenge themselves? Have they acted illegally? There's questions to be asked. So, if that's the case, does it throw the whole legality of the law in question?
Yes, but the one thing that when it comes back to this, to answering the big question, you know, does anybody know what's really going on? Yes, it's the lawyers.
Yes. They know
the cash piles
all the way to the bank. Yes.
All the way, yes. Oh, well, goodness me. Well, look, I think we could safely say that we could look at this whole scenario here and summarize it in the following, which is the first Brexit negotiator stalls and ambles. Another political opponent raves and rambles. Finally, the deadline looms and everybody scrambles. The Prime Minister gestures and speculatively gambles. And then the whole country's left in a total shambles. Well, listeners, what do you think? Have you got a clue about what's going on? Why not let us know? Because we would love to understand it all.
Yes.
Why not log on to markandpete.com? And please, 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 if you are a lawyer, yes, we'd love to hear from you on the next show. Well, thanks for joining us on this confusing debate. Join us next time for a bit more clarity with Clergyman Pete and Businessman Mark.